May God be pleased to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to Psalm 139 and we'll read the first two verses. Psalm 139 and reading verses 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising, and thou understandest my thought afar off. This is, as we know, a psalm of David, and here David is speaking about his relationship with his God and his realization that this God knows all about him. And of course the truth is that God knows all about every one of us. There is nothing in our minds, our thoughts, our actions, our words, which is not known to Almighty God. And it's a wonderful blessing when the Lord shows us what this really means. And so David's able to come and say, O Lord, he comes to God, the Jehovah, the ever-living and true God, O Lord. And he says, thou hast searched me and known me. Well, it's very humbling when we are able to say and agree with David that the Lord has searched us. That means the Lord has come and examined us. And we've had that examination. And we've known what the examination has done. The eye of God and the word of God has come to us and directed us to our innermost thoughts, innermost desires, those things which only you know about and God knows about, no one else knows about. That's why we read on as the Lord spoke to David, and David tells us, thou, the Almighty God, knowest my downsitting. That's the things really when he's cast down, and the up, and mine uprising, the things when he's lifted up, and understandest my thought afar off. You see, it's wonderful to think that God is in heaven. The Lord Jesus sits on the Father's right hand. And yet you see, although he's so far away, he knows all about us. He understands about us, understands my thought afar off. Well, this evening, as we come before our God, may such a word be an encouragement to us. Sometimes it may, of course, make us tremble to think that God knows exactly what we're saying and what we're doing and what we're thinking. Good things and bad things are all known to God. We cannot hide ourselves. We cannot hide even our thoughts. That just shows to us something, does it not, of the greatness of our God. The power of God to look into our hearts. The power of God to understand and know our very thoughts, the things which the Lord knows we will think. Because the Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows every thought that comes into our mind. Nothing is hidden from the eye of Almighty God. And we would think that such a realization would greatly influence us in our lives. But so often we just go on as though we're our own boss, as though we do exactly what we want to. We don't have to confer with anyone. We don't have to think that anyone is thinking what we're thinking. And yet here we have the clear evidence that we have a God who does know about us, who knows. Thou knowest, says David, my downsitting and mine uprising. Yes, God does know. Now, this, of course, has two sides, doesn't it? It's a wonderful comfort from one perspective. As we enter into difficulties and trials and temptations, to know that God knows all about us. And we can therefore come and commit our way unto Him and to trust in Him that He will deliver. He who has delivered, we may believe, will deliver. And therefore we're not left to ourselves, but we have a God who is so gracious and is mindful of us. So He knows, therefore, our down sitting. He knows all our concerns, every concern. And we all have concerns from day to day. We enter into new situations, and we know not where the scene will end sometimes. And there are a cause to make us sad and wonder what the scene will bring to us. But our God knows all about it. And we were able, therefore, to commit our way unto Him, to trust Him, that He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. Be able to say with the hymn writer, "Thou hast helped me hitherto, will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to Thy praise." And Ebenezer means "hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Again, what a blessing that is, to realize that we have a God, therefore, who understands us also. Not only knows, but understands. And it's a mercy, isn't it, to have a God like that. But yet also on the other side, of course, it's a solemn reality to think that all the bad thoughts, the sinful thoughts, the wrong thoughts that we have, God knows about. We can't hide them. We can't pretend they didn't happen. We can't pretend they weren't there. God knows. And it's a mercy if God shows to us that He does know. And that's why the Lord in His sovereign goodness has given us truths like this in His word to encourage us, and also to warn us and make us aware of the greatness of God. But what a mercy it is to realize that as we journey on through life, we won't enter into any situation that is not known to God. We may think, well, what's going to happen now? What's the future going to hold for me? How can I continue? Remember, the Lord knows. He knows the way. He knows the way of escape. He knows the path that you and I will be walking in. Indeed, He does direct us. He leads us in a plain path. What a mercy that is. He knows, thou knowest my down sitting. Well, and it's good, therefore, to realize that when the Lord brings us into sometimes difficult situations, and we may wonder, why has this come into my life? Why have I got to walk this path? Why has the Lord ordained that this should happen to me? Well, I believe one of the greatest blessings that occurs to us in that situation is to realize that we're not alone. The Lord is with us, and we're not walking a path which is unknown, because the Lord has walked that path. There's no path, you know, that is unknown to our God. He knows the path that we've walked. And what a comfort that should be, because therefore it may seem an unknown way to us, but to realize it's a way which is known to God, a pathway that He's walked before us. And we only have to think, surely, of the life of the Lord Jesus on this earth, and to realize the many, many difficulties the Saviour had to endure. The Lord's not a stranger to the path that you and I walk in. We may think, well, surely the Lord doesn't understand my path. He says, the Lord knows our downsitting. He knows the path. And surely that word should bring us into union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ through his life. Again, you may and I may think, well, this path's a hard path, and why do I have to walk it? Well, we're instructed in the Hebrews, consider him. Consider him. What the Saviour had to endure. What the Saviour faced. Consider him. And as you and I may be able to consider him and to realise the path he walked in order to satisfy the holy and righteous demands of our Heavenly Father. Yes, it wasn't a path. It wasn't a chance path. Even with the Saviour, it was a graciously ordained path. So that none of us will be able to say, well, of course, the Lord never had to walk a path like me. Remember, we're told he was tempted in all things, yet without sin. The Saviour understands. And so when you find the path is hard, when you find the path seems difficult, when you find the path seems beyond your understanding, consider him. And if the Holy Spirit then comes and applies the truth of God to the situation, what a mercy that will be if you find you're walking with that one who understands. Because he's walked the path. He walked a lonely path, did he not, on this earth? And not only a lonely path, but a path with continued opposition. Yes, and didn't have a big, comfortable bed to go to at night. He didn't have a warm, lovely house to go into. No, he lay down on the ground with stones for his pillow. Nothing comfortable in his natural life. Sometimes it's good just to compare that with our situation and think of the lines of the hymn which encourages us, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise us what the Lord has done. We often become fretful and moan and complain, and yet the Lord Jesus never complained. He never became fretful. He walked the path that his Father had ordained for him. And my friends, today, Almighty God has ordained a path for you and me. And my friends, we can say it reverently and wonderfully, the path that the Saviour walked was a path that would have a good end. Yes, and it was a good end because he did his Father's will and he was received up into glory. And it would be a wonderful blessing, therefore, for us today if our desire and concern is to do the will of our Heavenly Father and to be patient in the path that he leads us in, and to not think that we're in a very rare path. No one else has walked the same way as we have. Remember the Saviour. Remember what he endured. Remember what he faced. And we can perhaps come in with the hymn writer. His way was much rougher and harder than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? It's always good to come and try and align ourselves with a suffering Saviour. That's often then puts things in a right perspective. It's then you see that we are made willing in the day of his power to suffer for his sake, whatever that may mean in each of our life. And the word of God encourages us, if we suffer with him, we should also reign with him. Therefore, the other must be truth. If we do not suffer with him, then we will not reign with him. Let us not be therefore surprised at the path the Lord ordains for us, because it is to bring us closer to the Saviour. If there's no suffering in this life, there's no closeness, we won't understand the path that the Saviour had to walk in order to redeem our souls. And then you see it makes our salvation so much more precious and so much more valuable, as we then have a little understanding of the path the Saviour walked. You see, if our path on this earth was all smooth without any difficulties and without any trials, we wouldn't understand the cost of our salvation. We wouldn't appreciate the cost of our salvation. So what a mercy it is then to be blessed with this great truth. Thou knowest. David sums to his God, O Lord, thou search me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. So we can come, can we not, to our God with the same words. They're there for us. We don't have to try and make up anything different and think we've got to be so original in our prayers. They're here for us. And they're spelt out so very simply and very blessedly, so that you and I can come in our situation recognizing. And it's good if we come indeed like David did when he came and said, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That means that we recognize we have a God who's looked into our heart and sees everything there, searched us, and he's known us. And therefore, how true it is, he knows our downsittings and our uprising, and understandest our thoughts afar off. I believe this will bring comfort to our souls. It'll bring union with Christ. And there's no greater blessing for you and me as we travel on our journey through this world to what we trust and hope will be our eternal home, to have union with Christ. If we have no union with Christ on this earth, surely there will be no union with Christ in the life to come. We won't get to heaven and find there a Saviour who we don't know. No, by the grace of God, we will, in part, have walked with a Saviour through his gracious love and mercy toward us. But he hasn't cast us off. The scripture uses the term as a cumberer of the ground, something which is unworthy of being in the ground. No, the Lord's been gracious to us and been mindful of us and helped us and directed us. Well, you know, it's wonderful if we realize that it's in him indeed. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read the truth of that very statement in the 17th chapter of the Acts, in verse 28, we read this. Well, perhaps I'll read verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. They be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. How true that is. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Well, that's a great mercy and a great favour to realise that in him we live and move. It's not out of Christ, it's in Christ. And we won't be in Christ unless we have union with him. And the Lord brings us into union with him in times when we do have down sittings, when we do have trials and difficulties. And perhaps we cry out, Lord, what should I do? And perhaps, like the hymn writers, what should I do? And with a flea to escape the judgment or the justice due to me. Well, what is the answer? Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? To be taught by the Spirit of God. To be sons and daughters of the Most High God. To be his children. Those who he's dealing with in love. To our children. Do we leave them to just wander on? To get worse and worse? Farther and farther away? More wicked? More evil? No. By the grace of God, we desire to instruct them. We desire to bring them up in a right way. And my friends, we always must recognize that the Lord also deals with us as his children. Isn't that wonderful? To think we have a Father in heaven who deals with us as his children. He doesn't just forget about us. He doesn't just let it leave us to ourselves. No, he comes and he deals with us in love to our souls. That's the reality. He deals with us in love to our souls because he's loved us and because he wants us, therefore, to be made conformable unto his image. That's like Paul desired, didn't he? These are great and glorious truths. You see, we won't come to glory and find there it's this is a strange place, I don't know anything about it, I don't know any of the people, the situation that they walk in. No, you see, we will all get to glory having walked this path, having known that we have a God who knows our down-sitting and our uprising. A God who understands our thoughts afar off. A God who we've had communion with on this earth. So that we don't come to glory as a stranger. Now obviously glory would be very, very different to this earth. But you see, there would have been that personal contact between our souls and our God. And that's why the Lord leads us in the right way. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And the Lord has a right way for each one of us. It won't be identical. There will be many similarities, but it won't be identical. But we can thank our God, the Lord Jesus Christ walked the path, and he understands, therefore, exactly the way, exactly the path the Lord has seen fit to lead us in and to direct us in. Yes, it's a mercy, is it not, to have, therefore, such a kind and gracious God who doesn't cast us off. And we read in the Psalms, there are so many wonderful statements. And David knew what it was, and in Psalm 94, he tells us this, and it's good sometimes to realize it. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. He tells us that they are vanity. If you sit calmly before God, and at the end of a day perhaps, and look back over the day, and have to confess that, oh, many of my thoughts today have been vanity. And it's good to realize that we have a kind and gracious God. The beginning of this psalm starts in a very similar way. O Lord, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. The psalmist desired to have a view of the graciousness and the goodness of God. And he goes on to say, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? Well, you see, you may think, well, it's strange that I have to endure. Again, cast your mind back to what the Saviour had to endure. Hard things, didn't he? Unjust statements. He endured. And so do we, by the grace of God, we endure as seeing him that is invisible. Well, what a blessing it is, and what a mercy that we come today and are able to worship the true God and the same God that David worshipped so many years ago. That same God who tried and tested David's religion. Indeed, surely we don't want to go on through this life without our religion being tested. You know, there are some who pass through this life and are really not very concerned about their spiritual state, and they may speak about it, but very lightly and not with any real concern, and not really desiring that the Lord will be gracious to them and bless them. Well, what a mercy it is then if we come down to the position like again David did when he wrote the 142nd Psalm, and he said this: attend unto my cry. Oh, and a cry, as I've sometimes said, is an expression which comes from us like a babe. Can't express itself very well, but it cries, and the parent takes notice of it. And as you and I come and cry to our God. And what did David say when he cried unto his God? He tells the Lord, for I am brought very low. Thou knowest my down sittings. Sometimes we are brought very low. And perhaps we might say, the lower we come, the higher we rise. Because we enjoy the greater blessing of fellowship with the Saviour. And so, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. We may sometimes think that is so. The devil's a persecutor, and he's very strong. And my friends, never forget, the devil never gives up this side of the grave. He never gives up. He always wants to defeat us. He always wants to turn us away from God, to take away any religion that we have. And that's why, you see, we can come to our God like David and say, thou knowest my down sitting. Yes, the Lord knows it. What a mercy. Just as David came here, I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And he comes and says, bring my soul out of prison. Sometimes we may seem to be chained up in prison. There's the iron door, the brazen door before us. We can't seem to get out. And the devil is teasing us and tempting us. Well, says David, bring my soul out of prison. Now, it's very relevant, and we ought to notice this, what the word continues. It continues in this way. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. When God comes and delivers us, when God comes and brings our soul out of prison, our reaction should be to praise God and to acknowledge that he's done it. so that he receives the honour and the glory for deliverance. Oh, my friends, let us not forget. Let us not rejoice to ourselves. But, my friends, let us praise his name. Let us give thanks to him that he's been mindful of us. And he has heard our prayers. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You see, the Lord afflicts, and yet he doesn't afflict willingly to cast us down. He afflicts to bring us closer to the Saviour and bring us to that position where we do come to praise our God. Yes, you see, praise is very needful. It's very necessary. We are here on this earth to praise our God and not to let his favours and his blessings and his deliverances lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. Yes, sometimes it's a sad reflection that people are reluctant to tell what God has done. Come all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. And that won't be for pride. It'll be with that concern to glorify God who's heard our prayers, who has known our down-sitting and uprising, who has come to us, who has been gracious to us and has delivered us. The Bible is so full of these great truths, and as my mind just follows on to the 143rd Psalm, where the psalmist says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Yes, David knew what it was to have a God he could come to. And surely that's the blessing for each one of us today, to know that we have a God who we can come to, and a God who will not cast us off, a God who will hear. Indeed, we're told the Lord waits to be gracious. Waits to be gracious. We may think, I want the blessing now. Well, the Lord's time is the right time. And he waits to be gracious. And perhaps you and I have to go down more, deeper more, before the Lord comes to us. Like he did in David, he brought him up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Yes, there poor old David was. But the Lord came to him and the Lord blessed him, didn't he? That wonderful favour. It's a lovely psalm, that 40th psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. Often we're impatient. We're impatient. Perhaps we pray in the wrong way. Perhaps we don't pray in the right way. Perhaps we come to the Lord with demands rather than coming to the Lord and saying, "Thy will be done." Seeking the Lord would do that for us, which would be good for us. You and I sometimes think we know what needs to be done. You and I sometimes think we know what God must do. My friend, sometimes we're very wrong, because we don't know the end from the beginning. The Lord does. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he says, did he wait in vain? No, he didn't. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. That's a confession, isn't it? And that's bringing forth honour to God. And it's good, isn't it, when you and I can testify. There's not much of that this day, is there? The day and age in which we live. Testifying of what God has done for us. Testifying that we have waited for God. Testifying he has inclined unto me and heard our cry. And as David goes on then to explain the situation that he was in. He, Almighty God, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He wasn't left there was a terrible place he was in. Sometimes we do get ourselves into terrible places. And the description is very apt because it's a pit and it's miry clay. And if you've ever tried to climb up out of miry clay, you'll know how difficult it is. Perhaps you might say it's impossible. But it was the Lord that came and brought him up. And therefore, David's able to praise his God. Because it was God that brought him up. He couldn't say, well, I got stuck in this horrible pit and I managed to extricate myself. No, he didn't. God came and God brought him up out of the horrible pit and set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. You see, he brought him up. He didn't leave him then to sink back. He put him on a rock. My friends, that's a beautiful picture for us today to realize that in this time of our down sitting, we can look forward to the time when the Lord will come and deliver us, bring us out, and place us upon the rock Christ Jesus. You see, there's no movement then. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then the result of that wonderful deliverance was, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Perhaps you've been moaning, perhaps you've been miserable, perhaps you and I have been moaning and miserable, and perhaps we've come and said, well, how hard's my lot? Well, here was the result. And he's put a new song. God did it. New song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Again, sometimes we pass over these very simple statements. He didn't just declare it to one person. It's good if you and I can. But here was a scene when many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And then he says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Well, tonight, my friends, may it be our wonderful blessing. If we come here, perhaps downcast, and yet we know the Lord knows our downcastness, our downsittings and our rising. And we come to our God with living faith, believing he will deliver. He will deliver. You see, the Lord has promised he will deliver. He won't leave us. But we must remember to be patient for the time of deliverance. Because we tend to look just on our own life. My friends, there may be many other things, many other situations, perhaps many other people that have got to be brought to a certain situation and condition so that when the Lord does deliver and put a new song in our heart, there are other people to receive it, other people to hear it, other people to rejoice in it, other people to be strengthened in their faith that this great God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Yes, well, again, the psalmist goes on in this 143rd psalm, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Oh, there's a true position of a needy soul. Therefore, we're thankful that we have descriptions like that to encourage us to realize, yes, that's how perhaps I feel, that's perhaps how I am, and yet to realize we have a God who knows it. He knows it. And how is he dealing with us? In love to our soul. He doesn't afflict willingly, he afflicts, my friends, in that way which will be good for us. not to make us suffer, but to direct us to himself. Yes, thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. It would appear very clear here, therefore, that when there's a downsitting, when there's a downcast situation, we won't forever remain there. There will be a lifting up. There will be an uprising. There will be a time of blessing. There will be a time of rejoicing. There will be a time of fruitfulness. There will be that time of fellowship and union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what a blessing it is for us tonight, therefore, if we can come in with the psalmist, some of these things which I've mentioned tonight, and to be encouraged in our life. We walk through a dark world. We live in a dark world, a sinful world, but we have a glorious light which shines forth in the face of Jesus Christ. And although, therefore, the path may appear perhaps dark, as we can't see the light, remember, we are to look up. We are to look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me, as I already said, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. There's none other way. But you know, the Saviour will not leave us. He didn't leave David in that horrible pit. He doesn't leave any true believer in that horrible pit. He brings them out, and he brings them out with a song of deliverance, so that they are encouraged. The church of God is encouraged, and above all things, God is honoured and glorified. Amen.